fits here as well. When I was in Lakeview, Texas, just 50 miles from us, there were lots of pheasants. And so we called the game wardens in and everything and asked them, why can't we have pheasants in Lakeview, just a short distance away? And the difference was somewhat in elevation. The town where the pheasants were was up on a plateau. But he told us something that was very interesting. He said the reason they couldn't get a pheasant going in Lakeview in that area was because there were not enough predators. And I thought, well, that's odd. There's not enough things to kill the pheasants, so they can't get them growing here. And he explained, went into detail about the predators weed out the weak ones, and then the strong survive and reproduce and so on. And basically what he's saying is they grew better under persecution. And that seems to be what's happening in Ukraine. They're growing better under persecution, because where can they go but to the Lord in situations like that? And I think we need to think more often about those in those war conditions, and especially in the wintertime when it's freezing and the enemy's doing everything they can to destroy their infrastructure and their heating ability. And so that reminded me of that situation with the pheasants and how sometimes in the United States we have freedom to be weak religiously, and it probably keeps us from growing. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we see after the persecution of the Christians, they went everywhere, scattered abroad, preaching the gospel. And so that persecution caused the church to spread beyond all of those areas where it had started there in Jerusalem. But we do need to remember our brethren there. We even have brethren in Russia. And so we have brethren all over the world and in various places that are suffering. But Ukraine probably is the worst at this point that's suffering as a result of war. So we need to remember them. The church as sheep. God uses the parallel of his people and sheep throughout scriptures. We're going to see that there's a parallel in many places in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament about God being the shepherd and us being the sheep. Psalm 23, the one we're all familiar with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This, as we've talked about, when we're comparing the church to the various things, there's always a key point there. And the key point with the church of sheep is we depend on God. He's our shepherd, and we follow him, and he takes us where we need to go for us to get what we need to have. And so that's what the 23rd Psalm is all about. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All of those things relating to our dependence on God as our shepherd. And Jesus, of course, is a good shepherd, as was seen in that scripture in John 10. And so again, if you've got a good shepherd, you've got to have sheep. And so the church that Jesus established is the sheep. The elders are called shepherds, and if they have, of course, shepherds, they have to have a flock. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, we're going to see the three words that are used that many times are just translated elders. But the elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock. That's the word for pastor. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. That's the word bishop that's used for that many times. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so this is illustrating that the shepherds, the elders, the bishops, whatever terminology, I remember one congregation I was in, the elders wanted to be called shepherds. Typically, we simply say elders. But all of those words, elders, shepherds, overseers, are all talking about that same group of people. That's the reason in the religious world around us, many people call the preacher the pastor. And while I am in this congregation one of the elders, not improper to call me a pastor or any of the elders a pastor. But it's used in the religious world as a title. And we've looked before at the fact that we don't use religious titles in the church, anything to elevate one person above the other. So the elders are the elders. They're part of the flock. They are to be examples, not lords that lord it over, but examples. They need to be doing the very things that they want you to do. And so they lead by example many times. And so that's the reason we need to be careful about those that we choose to be elders. But all of these, and I preached on this, the various words and what aspect of the eldership is involved in it. The elders is of course, the idea of the age and maturity of that office. The shepherd talks about the work of leading and guiding the church, and the overseers are the idea of them being over us and watching out for us and seeing that we do the things that we should be doing. So the fact that we, the elders, are called shepherds indicates, of course, that the church is the sheep. So we need to recognize our need for a shepherd and diligently follow him as the good shepherd, and as our elders, our shepherds, the same thing there. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You know, that's illustrating the way God dealt with his people. And again, if there's a shepherd, the flock has to be his people. In this case, the Israelites. In our case, the church. Psalm 23 that we mentioned, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we have that illustration of the Lord being our shepherd, and we need to follow him. He's there for our benefit, just as that shepherd is there for the benefit of the flock. Everything he does is to benefit that flock and to help them, to protect them. And the same thing is true with the church. Then we need to be aware of our tendency to stray, as sheep do. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And of course, this idea again of sheep going astray, the Israelites were constantly straying away from God and his will for them. And so we need to realize that there is a tendency for us to stray. We see it in this congregation. We've seen many people stray away slowly and gradually. And that's one of the reasons I many times emphasize the importance of being here in every assembly, because missing one assembly on a regular basis is an indication you're straying. And especially if you have been coming to all the assemblies. Now, there are some people that just begin the Christian life with just saying, oh, well, I'll just come on Sunday and Sunday morning, that's it. But many people have been here regularly on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, and then slowly we see them drift away, and eventually they're gone on Sunday morning too. And so that tendency to stray has always been there for God's people. Matthew 18:12-14. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And so, again, that tendency to stray. And God is concerned about that straying sheep, just like the shepherd is. And he points out here, the shepherd leaves the 99. Of course, they're in a safe place. But he leaves them to go out after that one that strayed. And the rejoicing goes on when he finds that one. And that's illustrative of the way God feels when a stray comes back home to him. And of course, it's up to us to bring that stray back. If anyone wanders from the truth, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted. 1 Peter 2 and 25, for you are like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so that idea, and Jesus, of course, referred there as the shepherd and overseer. We see two of those words that is translated elders in many cases being used there. But there is that tendency for sheep to stray. And shepherds are well aware of that fact. And if we've ever seen much to do with shepherds and sheep, we see that happening. And I can remember the Shepherd of the Hills play in Branson, Missouri. I think there was a scene in there where he went after a stray sheep and carried him back on his shoulders. And so we need to be aware of our tendency to stray and be willing to be on guard against that straying, to recognize when we're drifting away from God. And Hebrews refers to that straying as drifting, that it's not a deliberate thing, it's not a purposeful thing, it's just a matter of us slowly moving away from God. And many times we may have done that as a child. We got separated from our parents because we weren't paying attention to where they were going. We were following them, and the first thing you know, we wind up, we don't know where we are, and they don't know where we are either. And that's a frightening thing. But that tendency there for us to stray is something we need to be aware of and deal with it. Then we need to know who our enemies are. We need to know when to run from the enemy. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And the idea here is them coming into the sheep, God's people, coming in dressed like one of them. Like a sheep. I think I had a picture of one of those at one time that I showed in one of my sermons. But inside, they're a wolf. They may look like a sheep, but they're not. And that's the way he portrays false prophets. They look like one of the sheep, but they're telling you wrong things, leading you down the wrong path, and you need to be aware of them and know who they are. In John 10:10-13, Jesus refers to this as a thief who does not come in except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And so, again, it's talking about false teachers and those who want to destroy the people of God. Their purpose is not to do good. It may be to gain monetary things for them or some other power struggle or whatever it might be, that they're not concerned about the sheep and the church. That's the reason it's always important for us, and we always want to have people leading us, a preacher, the elders, whatever it might be, who are concerned first and foremost about the church and what's going to happen to the church. And that's the reason I have always said I would never want to create a division within any church that I was at, that I would leave before I saw a division coming as a result of my being there. And I'm concerned about the church more than I am my own well-being or whatever the case might be. And so that's what the shepherd is to do, and those who lead us. But we need to know who our enemies are and be able to recognize them. Again, that's the reason we have elders to look for those false teachers and those who are stirring up trouble within the congregation or whatever the case might be. That's one of the purposes for them. We need to realize the shepherd's love for the sheep. Realize that the shepherd is there for our well-being, as I mentioned about Psalm 23. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 12 says, "For thus says the Lord, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day." So God is portraying himself as one who's looking for those lost sheep and wanting to bring them back because of his love for the sheep. Matthew 18, 11 through 14. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that any one of these little ones should perish." And so God's concerned about all the sheep, even those who are straying, because he loves us. He is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And we need to realize that that's the purpose of the elders, that's the purpose of the Lord, and that's their desire, to get us all to heaven. And we need to recognize that and appreciate the love they have for us. Then we need to recognize the difference between sheep and goats. And there is a difference, and we see that throughout the scripture, even in the judgment scene. Matthew 25, 32 through 33, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." And of course, he's not talking about sheep and goats here. He's talking about good people and bad people, even within the church. That judgment day is coming, and some scriptures talk about him gathering out of his kingdom those who are not doing what they should be doing. So not only is he going to judge the world, those outside the church, he's going to judge us inside the church also. And not all of us will make it. So that judgment scene and that parable of the sheep and the goats, and that parable ends right there with those verses. And then he goes into the judgment scene and what's going to happen there. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So we don't want to run with the goats. We want to run with the sheep. The goats are those who are going to be on the wrong side, and they're going to enter into hell, as Matthew 25 talks about. But the righteous, the sheep, are going to enter into heaven. And you can't run around with the goats and expect to make it to heaven, because evil company corrupts good habits. And so we need to recognize that difference. Then we need to accept responsibility to care for our fellow sheep and keep them from harm and straying also. So we keep our eye out for those around us and try to recognize if they're straying away. We need to bring them back and not let them get too far from the fold, because it's dangerous out there and there are people waiting to get them, just like that wolf is that sheep. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. And so he's saying to Ezekiel, prophesy against those shepherds of Israel that aren't doing their job and what they should be doing. They don't really care for the flock. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became a food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of I, the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. And so we see that reference there again to the shepherds of Israel and the fact that they were not doing what they should. Some of those may have been prophets, but here they're referred to as shepherds that were not doing their job and were not keeping the sheep from straying and doing things that were harmful to them. James 5, verses 19 through 20. Brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And so we have that responsibility as individuals within the church to restore those who have turned away from God or wandering away. And the quicker we get them back, the easier it will be. Because the further they stray, the more difficult it's going to be. And so we need to be aware and keep an eye on the flock and to realize when, hey, we haven't seen so-and-so in a week or two. What's going on? And to give them a call and say, they're having a problem. Is there anything I can do to help? And that lets them know we care. And hopefully they'll be back that next week because they see that we care. And that's what we should be doing, and see the need for us to help them in that way. Galatians 6:1, I mentioned before, brethren, if any one of you is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And that tempted has to do probably with a temptation could be of you being too judgmental of them and not saying the right things to get them back into the fold. You who are spiritual in a spirit of gentleness is the idea there, that you gently get them back into the fold and careful about what you say and don't push them further away. And some people say it may be lest you're tempted to go astray with them and they pull you astray rather than you pulling them back into the faith, and either of those, of course, is possible. But we need to accept the responsibility to care for our fellow sheep and to keep them from harm and straying. That's part of our responsibility as sheep. As we think about Jesus, sheep, and us being the sheep as the church, in John 10:27-29, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so Jesus here talking about a number of things. First of all, we follow him. If we're truly his sheep, then we're going to follow him. And we're going to do what he tells us to do. We're going to follow his example of life. We're going to walk the way he walked here on this earth, and we're going to realize that there's a better place waiting for us that he's leading us to. The shepherds, one of their responsibilities was to take them to green pastures where they can feed, to take them to a better place. And so that's what Jesus is doing for us, leading us to a better place. Many people use this out of context when it says No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. But that hand is an open hand. And so no one can get them out of God's hand, but you're free to leave at any time. And so many people use this as to back up their doctrine, once saved, always saved. But that's not talking about you leaving God. That's talking about no one being able to take you away from God as long as that's where you want to be. But if you want to leave, there's nothing holding you there. God is not holding you in a closed fist, keeping you from leaving. You're free to go. It's just what we talked about, the straying and the drifting and all of that. It's possible for us to get out there on the edge of that hand and just kind of think, now, would it be better to leave the protection of this hand or not? And that's where we need to work to keep them in that hand. But anyone is free to leave at any time. But we need to be following Jesus and realize he's there for our benefit. We are his sheep, and we will listen to and obey him. And those sheep that follow that shepherd and obey him are led to wonderful pastures and have everything that they need supplied for them by that shepherd. He knows whether we are really following him. We can't fake it. We may be able to fake others. We may be able to fake people in the congregation and think, oh, he's a good Christian man, or she's a good Christian woman, when in reality we're not living the Christian life out there every day of the week, just Sunday Christians only. And so we can fake it sometimes. If we follow him in obedience, we will never perish. No one can get us out of his hand as long as we're living the obedient life. Doesn't mean Satan won't try. But that temptation that he's going to put in front of us is just that. It's a temptation. God has given us a way out of that temptation. Always there is a way out. And so he's not going to allow anyone to take us out of his hand against our will. If we leave the hand of God, it will be because we went willingly, because we chose to do something else rather than the will of God. So are you one of the sheep of God? Are you part of a flock that's been talked about here? See, we become that by obedience, by repenting of our sins, recognizing our sinfulness in the sight of God, failing to do what he wants us to do, repenting of that, and then confessing Jesus as the Son of God initially, and then being buried with him in baptism, having our sins washed away. If there's anyone that has not done that and needs to, we'd be glad to help you with that today. And then you begin living your life following Jesus as your good shepherd, recognizing he only wants what is best for you, and he's striving to help you to be able to get to heaven, where you can live with him eternally in heavenly bliss. And so if we can help you in that, we'd love to do that. If you've sinned and you have not confessed that, you need to repent and confess that, then we'd be glad to pray for you that God might forgive you of your sins and to help you to be strong to resist those temptations in the future. Whatever your need might be, if there's any way we can help you tonight, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.